I am really pleased that the two gentlemen who are about to be inside of your radio with me are here to join us today. I've met both of them in Hazelwood when we were doing some work at Center of Life. They're very talented. I don't even want to describe what they're about to do. I will let you just listen for yourself. Their names are Langston Kelly and Adam J. Keene, and they are Speak Life Storytellers.
On an earth that was slowly dying, there was a sun would not shine, rain that would not fall, and crops that would not grow. Nobody knew what to do. It was clear that the earth had seen better days. The world and all of its countries, and it desperate attempt to try to figure out what a solution could be to saving Earth and its humanity, gathered together and began to share stories at what was known as the Grand Conversation. As this Grand Conversation began to develop, scientists noticed that there seemed to be planet at the distance, forming, getting closer and closer to Earth's view. When scientists sent probes to this planet, they found evidence that it might just be able to support human life. So, a brave set of human beings gathered together in ships and took a trip to this unknown planet. When they landed there, they found that the stories that they told was able to help mold this planet in a way that made it so beautiful. Called that world Story. Soon, they had developed a small little society on an island where they found that the stories they spoke powerfully came into life. They called this island Teller Island, for it was where the story's power seemed to be the grandest. Soon, explorers began to build ships and sail across the seas of story to find new life. And as they did, something happened. Humanity began to change, and no longer could they call themselves human beings? No. These beings were now human tellings. They named their ships after the island that they had come to love and began to spread across this new globe, forming cities and towns and civilizations. But something strange began to happen. Began to notice these civilizations began to forget about these ships. One by one, they all vanished as if they never existed to begin with. But a funny thing about myths is they have a way of living on. For it is said, there is one single ship that is still roaming the story scenes. Whenever it comes across a town or a city, stories of fulfillment and enrichment and hope emerge. It's one ship and its crew are known as the Speak Life Storytellers, and these are their adventures. This is the story ship. We're about to take a trip through all of the seas that open up and simply exist in a way that we grab everything that we want, that we have, everything that we need. Dip into the story seed to plant seeds that grow in the trees that always will flourish and that always will grow, so that when we look inside, we can simply see and then know that we are filled with love, that we are filled with light. But more importantly, we are filled with life. One day, a man arrived into Pittsburgh and began to speak. And as the man spoke, all of the radio stations stopped what they were doing. TV shows began to be shut off. Phones began to pick in on the frequency. All could hear this message, and the man said, "I have left 4 boxes in Pittsburgh. They are called story boxes, and those who find them, all 4, will learn the secret of great wealth." Well, this started a huge search across the city of Pittsburgh. I mean, people stopped working. A treasure hunt began. And it seemed as if this man disappeared as soon as the message came out, and then no one could find these boxes that he was talking about either. People began to wonder if this was a joke. This was like an April Fool's trick. Until a couple of children were playing in the North Shore, and they stepped on the tee to leave and go down to South Hills, and suddenly, under the seats that the children sat at, were 4 boxes. Well, the children thought that this was very strange, but they figured, well, the boxes are shiny and they're very cool and they're golden and silver and bronze and blue. I guess, what could it hurt? Let's take a look inside. So the first child opened up the first box and a story began to speak. Walk through the door. Go through the living room and open up the sliding glass door. Outside, you will see a beautiful array of flowers and fruit trees. See, all my life, my mother has been a gardener. Growing up, I would wake up and peek outside the window to watch as my mom was weaving the magical wand of a garden hose across her plant paradise where she was its protector. My mother was in her garden. You could see a seed-like light blossomed into a beautiful rose, and when her hands worked into the dirt, her heart rose into the sky, and when you looked up, you could watch as she conquered the sun and all the rain clouds, only accepting the sun's rays and the rain clouds' rain as peace treaties to end the war. It was a sight to behold. But as I watched my mother's beautiful garden kingdom unfold, I often wondered why. Why does she love gardening so much? So one day I just walked up to her. I said, "Hey, Mom, why you love gardening so much? You know, for some reason, it seems as if you love those things even more than us. Don't you think that's kind of weird?" And my mom looked at me. She smiled. Shovel in one hand, garden hose in the other. And she looked at me dead in my eye with all the love in the world. And she replied, well, unlike my plants, or I should say you kids, when I talk, my plants don't talk back. And I kind of like that. But it was more than that. Every time my mom stepped into a garden, something changed in her. You know, you couldn't see it with normal eyes, but if you closed your eyes and you really looked, you could feel it. As the well transformed into a geyser and shot out of the essence of her being, this garden was her oasis. In a desert of day-to-day stresses, a way in which her spirit expresses the need to be released from this neurotic work-driven society. More importantly, it's a place where she could be, where she could just breathe due to the air of oxygen that her plants produced and induced in her. 2 weeks before I graduate, I come back home to spend some time with my grandma. She tells me, as we sit out and look, to make sure that you think positively and speak life into the things that are true to your being. As we continue our conversation, we step out into my mother's wonderland. And as I stand in the motherland, I can feel the power that these plants command. But my grandma goes inside. I sit there, just looking, wondering if my grandfather, who had handed these green thumbs down to her, felt this magic too. And as I do, a wind whispers its insightful song along the lines of the leaves. And although it disagrees with what my mom said, I could have sworn that for just a minute, I heard those plants talking back. The second boy was baffled. He had seen all that the first boy had seen. Inspired and excited, he quickly opened up his box. And as he did, another story began to speak. When I was born, doctors told me I had autism, a mental condition characterized by great difficulty in communication, forming relationships, and using language and abstract concepts. Now, being that I am a poet, I'm known by most people as a social butterfly and, well, I have a degree in communications. This was a careless mistake at best. See, apparently, when babies are born, they were given these little labels with their name, gender, and special ability, and although it sounds weird, when doctors looked at my label, they somehow managed to confuse artistic with autistic. Now, how incompetent can you get, right? But would you believe that this happens all the time in hospitals? I can't tell you how many times a doctor has mistaken genius for being degenerate, creative for being crazy, artistic for... You see where I'm going with this. So, the question is, how do we stop it? Now, for once, I'm going to try to put aside as much as possible my drawn-out poetics and give it to you straight. Parents, correct this mistake from the beginning. Fail to tell your kids what they truly are, and someone will tell them what they truly are. See, they aren't defined by a disease. They are defined by the love being given to them for who they are. Unique, original, incredible individuals who, just because they differ from the norm, may put the world at dis-ease, which is okay. Because sometimes those who do the most and have a lot to say often shake up society standards anyway, and whoever has been convinced that they have a so-called disorder, look at this order of disorder through the eyes of the beautiful things you can realize. At one point in time, I thought the ADD for me stood for attention deficit disorder, but when I peeled back the mask that society had told, a whole new story began to unfold, and now I can finally say that I was born with the gift of ADD. Attention directed divinely, see, I've been blessed with the ability to see things beyond this world, to see the beauty in every boy and girl, where most may see the unusual. Unable to function well within this world without the use of pharmaceuticals, but once again, those labels were both misread and dismissive. To the fact that it is not that these beings need some unusual medication and healing, but in fact, they have some unusual medication and healing to give, which I hope one day the world will take. As far as I'm concerned, we've taken on enough of the world's prescriptions of us, taken in enough of the descriptions of who we should be, and now I think it's time to offer our own diagnosis. What was in the other two boxes? Find out in about 15, 20 minutes.
Speak, life, storytellers. I don't know where to start, but what you need to realize as you listen to the Saturday Light Brigade, that there are two men in here with me, and that's it. I mean, some musical instruments, flute, saxophone, some beat making coming from the mouths of these two guys, some keyboards, but that's it. These two guys are creating this before your very ears live, and the soundscape is incredible. How do you figure out how to do that? Who's responsible for that, or is it a collaboration?
Definitely collaboration.
One of the things I get excited about is stuff that just comes out of, I don't mean it comes out of nothing, but it's like you made all of that happen. Mm-hmm. Just the two of you made all of that happen. There was nothing there before, and you just created it. And I'm curious how, like, can you describe the process a little bit? I don't want to challenge you because I can't imagine what it is. but Adam, I'll let you start. You got...
thank you, Larry. When it comes to, and you would think, you know, that we'd be thinking about this stuff a lot, you know, that we would be, you know, spending hours scheming and structuring this, but like literally we were in the back before, you know, we came out here, and we're just like, hey, I got these poems. How about we do this? I'm like, hey, let's just, and we know we just started a conversation. We just kind of went with it. And I think often the key to improv, and just the key, I mean, it's the thing about improv, it's so lifelike, you know, it's very lifelike. It's, you know, when we're having this conversation, I'm not thinking too hard about the words are just kind of flowing out of my mouth right now. And improv is a lot like that, you know, it's just the ability to allow things to happen.
Yeah. To be very present, as you go through it.
Yeah.
And it's really, that's true, because, you know, you worked in some aspects of the North Side and some other things.
Yeah.
And then watching, you know, Adam was primarily behind the narrative, or the narrative was primarily Adam. But then Langston with the instruments and also some of the vocal parts, you've got a lot. I mean, these complete mood changes are coming out of you. Like, you've got a really...
Thanks.
How do you do that? I just can't...
You know, I've...
You're making me hear colors. That's what's...
Awesome.
That's what's... No, it's just... all of a sudden, the room... It's as if you turned the lights out, but the lights are still on.
Great. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, actually. I've been exposed to so many different, you know, styles of music and different artists, and I like really colorful music in general, so that's probably why you hear that coming out of me. But it's really just a flow. I mean, that's how I imagine it. You know, I feel like, you know, I step into this realm, like this energy, this space, and then I just channel, and then, you know, the important thing when you're improvising is to not get in your way, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, because they start to think like, oh, what is this? Because sometimes I might do something, I might not have any idea how it's going to turn out. It might sound weird to me at first, like, where is this going? But then it turns into something like, oh, nice, you know. So,
do you think there's any rules to this form of improvisation? I mean, there are rules for comedy improv. There are kind of rules for jazz improv. Not rules, but sort of disciplines that you follow. Because this can't be easy with speech. There's so many different directions you could go.
Yeah,
you know, Larry, I think there's a reason why you can't spell the word function without the word fun. You know, and I think that's to allow life to really to be functional.
Yeah.
You know, I think there has to be an element of joy, an element of play, an element of fun that occurs. And with improv, that's especially important, is to really have some fun and to be enjoying yourself on a level and to allow yourself to play.
That shows watching you two guys, too, because as you were going through it, I think you would really enjoy, as you are listening to this over the radio, I think you'd enjoy seeing these guys as they perform, Speak Life Storytellers, and we'll give you their website and Facebook page in a minute because I hope you'll follow them. But it was clear that you guys were really enjoying yourself as nice. You did this. And that sometimes I think you were a little surprised at what the other was doing in a good way, in a delighted way. I'd like to ask a little bit about each of you. And it's always a little hard because I know both of you a little bit or maybe more than a little bit, but I want to be sure our audience listening, everybody knows. I met both of you in Hazelwood when we were doing an oral history project. But Adam, we'll just start with you. Where are you? My memory is you're originally not from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I'm actually from Florida, from South Florida, a place called Coral Springs. My story for getting right here is I came here for college. I went to Duquesne for my undergraduate in 2007, I believe. Yes, 2007. And man, it's crazy how time flies. But I came here in 2007 to go to Duquesne. I got myself a bachelor's in kind of communications. I think one of the more the thing about me is, you know, growing up, my parents would drop me to school and they would say two different things. You know, my mom would drop me to school and she would say, do something good for somebody. And my dad would drop me to school and say, don't work for anybody. So I went to school, you know, I came into Pittsburgh trying to figure out, okay, how do I, what does that,
yeah, reconcile what
do I do
this
with that? And my conclusion was try to do some sort of a business or some sort of a startup. So I tried a couple of different things, consulting. I tried some nonprofit work. I was trying a bunch of different stuff. And, I met Langston my junior year, right? The junior year. At Duquesne, we met, and it was really cool how we kind of met. We had met through a mutual friend, and one day I was just like looking for some lunch, and I just called him randomly. And I was like, "Hey, do you want to come eat with me?" And he was just like, "Yeah, sure, okay." And so literally, we got into the lunchroom, and we just started going back and forth into this whole story, and like we're just acting back and forth. We ended up going to his place and like doing like a 3-hour improvised kind of story journey just like this. So that was kind of like, we didn't realize it at the time, but that was kind of started this whole Speak Life Storytellers journey. It's been a joy since, because I've always loved storytelling. It's that's been a passion of mine. My dad, every single night growing up, would come back and sit next to my bed and tell me stories about him growing up. And so it just became this thing for me. And, so to do this now from there and to meet somebody who loves storytelling and music and improvising, it's a gift.
That's Adam Keene. Yeah. So it's been almost 10 years now with Langston. And let's talk to Langston Kelly a little bit about his life. Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
No, I'm actually from Newark, New Jersey. Yeah, and I too came to Pittsburgh through school, Duquesne. That was an interesting time too, because I originally wanted to go to Berklee School of Music in Boston, and you know, I got in, I was excited, but my music teacher in high school had gone to Duquesne, so he said, you know, check this place out. So I came, and the city of Pittsburgh just captured me, you know. Yeah, I remember coming around that bend on 376, and it was just like, wow, this exists. You know, it was such a mix of this future, the architecture, you know, the futuristic design, and also this archaic, you know, ancient looking things that I love. And so I ended up going to Duquesne, and you know, I met Adam. It was funny when he called me, because I didn't even realize that he had my number. You know, it was like a guy that I would see around and hang out with the music students, and we had spent a little bit of time together, but not really hung out. And like he described, it just, you know, exploded. And so we started working on this. Decided to stay in Pittsburgh after school. I actually 2 years after school, I decided to go back to New Jersey for a bit, you know, just to, you know, develop myself, spend some time with the family. And I just recently moved back to Pittsburgh. So, you know, we're all stocked and ready to, you know, go and home with this.
I'm really glad you did. I'm glad both of you ended up in Pittsburgh. And, you know, to Duquesne's a great music school.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got Berklee. Berklee's loss is Pittsburgh's gain. You know, it's great to have you here. Now, you can learn more about this program and how maybe you'd like to bring Speak Life Storytelling to a school or a community festival or something that you're doing. Go to Speak Life Storytelling. Do I have that right?
Storytellers.com.
Tellers. You know, I looked at it and I memorized it and then I forgot. SpeakLifeStorytellers.com. Mm-hmm. SpeakLifeStorytellers.com. We've linked to it from our website. You also can look for them on Facebook there. And I would really suggest that you do, because you don't want to forget who these folks are. And I'm sure school programs, I think, would be amazing for people to watch you. Are there any gigs coming up open to the public that we should mention?
We're going to be doing a festival, actually, in Clarion next week. That's on the 2nd, I believe.
Oh, great.
Right? October 2nd. Yeah, so Autumn Leaves Festival. We'll be performing at night. And hosting and a few other things at night out there on October 2nd, yeah.
Well, that's a great festival. I've been there. Check out the parade when you go there. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, the whole town participates in the autumn parade there, from children riding wagons to floats and things.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Well,
awesome.
I want to be sure we have time for part two of the story, because we have about 14 minutes of radio time here left. And I want to be sure. I'm going to thank you for being here, because it might be the last chance we have time to talk. It's Langston Kelly and Adam Keene. SpeakLifeStorytellers.com is the website. And look for them on Facebook, too. In fact, I'll post something up on our Facebook page with their page in a minute. We still got two boxes to figure out, I think. Right? So here here they are again. Langston and Adam, Speak Life Storytellers.
I remember it like it was yesterday. A world where communication was transportation, and you could go anywhere on earth if you were connected to the right person or place. A lamb where talking and walking were attached to the hip, and you couldn't speak with someone or something about taking a trip across a common ground of human fellowship. Back then, a car or a bus was nothing more than groups of people that gathered together to discuss things they cared about, sharing matters that moved them to tears, launched them into laughter, sent them soaring towards a United States of screams, shouts, and smiles. It was a time where miles could be traveled in minutes, through planes of conversational flights, and nights would be spent sleeping in the waterbeds of tales we shared and sailed through. It was an age of journeys and conversation. But try to find out when this time period was, and you won't be successful, because history is written by the winners, and the ones who won in this case were the technologies that could make actual face-to-face human interaction impossible. What won was the ideas of being just one phone call away or a text away, when you're actually only a block away, a house away, a room away, or even in the same room, talking to each other through a TV screen. These winners will attempt to tell you that the sacred space of journeys and conversation is nothing more than a mere myth. But I stand here to tell you an unsaid secret, that the realm of journeys and conversation not only existed, but it's still living. Like, Native American tradition is not always authentically represented, but it is alive and well. Now, how do I know? Because I've been there myself. In fact, so have you. It's where you are right now, listening to Saturday Light Brigade Radio, without a TV show in sight. Without knowing it, you've already entered the realm of journeys and conversation and discussion, taking the travel with yourself, with others, with experiences of places and things yet to be discovered. And it is my hope that by the end of this adventure, that you will be able to see this world for yourselves. So off we go, to where journeys and conversation dwell. The four children sitting on the tee with four story boxes. The first, a story of plants, planting seeds of a beautiful life. The second, a story about gifts in the most interesting of forms. The third box, a story of a distant land known as journeys and conversation. Now, it was strange, because although these three stories were told, throughout them, there seemed to not be a single hint of a key to wealth. Which didn't matter all that much to these boys anyway. I mean, they were just loving these stories that were being told out of these story boxes. I mean, that was great, and they just kept talking about it, and it was... But there was one more box left. And all the boys gathered around this last box. The box appeared dark for some reason, darker bronze. There were these very strange, scaly gems stacked around the box. And when, if you looked at it from the side, it almost sometimes seemed as if it would move. It would rise and fall, and rise and fall, and rise and fall, to find out the story for here and all. It rise and fall. This box would rise and fall, rise and fall. What's inside the fourth box, y'all? Should we open it? Or should we keep it closed? Should we stop? Or should we go? Well, I suppose, I guess we have no choice, because I wanna open up this box and see exactly what its voice is telling me to do. Telling me what to pursue. Telling me what happens in this moment that these stories accrue. What will be inside? Will it be a parade? Or will it be the awesome show of Saturday Light Brigade? I don't even know. I really can't say. Because at this moment, this is all just play. There is no script. There is no way to determine what's in the box of improvisation now today. So I say, let's just open it up and see if we will construct or maybe destruct. I don't know what's in this box, but I know it has no locks, and I know I wanna walk of it and see just how it talks. Shall we ride?
Ride the way, all the way, ride it far into story.
Or shall we fall?
Fall with the lines that pass in the time we find that
shall
last.
Rise?
Ride the wave, it's in story. Ride the wave through your
or
glory.
Or shall we fall?
Fall with each note that comes through your lips. You will walk the path it's built for you.
The boys each placed a hand on the box. And the four boys said, we'll open it on the count of three. One, two, three. And they open it really fast. And inside this box was nothing. The four boys were confused. I mean, they had heard the voice that said that in these four boxes was the key to wealth. Now, besides wanting a lot of candy, I mean, they didn't have the necessary need for money, but dang, it would sure be cool. I'll tell you, gosh darn. But inside this box was nothing. And they were confused until something happened. They heard a voice, and it seemed to come from all four of them at once. It started as a whisper, and then it grew louder. Tell me about the orange tree you would climb on the sunrise of a Sunday morning. Tell me how sometimes you wish you were a bald eagle because you got the bald part down pat. Tell me how sometimes you leave your car at work so you can run away from the cubicle of your life and job for just a little while. Tell me how autumn is the universe's ways of dealing with death and teaching us those moments of how to slowly kill off the things we need to let go of in the first place. Tell me something. Anything. I'm interested. To see every life is intricate, insightful in its instance of being in the day-to-day. Any day that I look around and I see a crowd of people, I can feel a lethal injection of poison which kills off my ego, because I want to know where he goes and she goes at the end of the day. I want to see their entire story put out on display so I can know what's going on before I even say hey. I want to be connected. Simply because we are human beings of the same race. A race that we run, whether we are white, yellow, black, or red. I want to have said I love you and peace be with you at least once. Well, okay, maybe more than once. maybe more like once a month, because I think one time is not enough to do it in a lifetime. I want the font of our human experience to be held by hands that come together despite our differences, because I believe when that happens, hatred diminishes. I want all of this because I'm interested. Insightful with every little instance that you exist in, so when I'm done with these sentences, approach me and tell me something about yourself. Tell us something about yourself, about your story, and leave nothing out. I want to know everything. And it was at that moment they realized what the secret to wealth was. It was not money. It was not best clothes. But it was the stories that we share. The community that we bear. That was the key to wealth. Relationships. Connection. With other people. Because inside of each of us are resources that go deeper than money can ever buy. Than money can ever even afford. And it was with that message that something in Pittsburgh began to change. That one of the world's most second, most bridgeable cities began to be more connected than ever before. Collaboration began to grow and flourish. People began to approach each other with love. And everything changed. And that is the story of the treasure in the story boxes. Well, we are just about out of time. I am Captain Adam J. Keene, here with First Officer Langston Kelly. And this is the Adventures of Speak Life Storytellers. We hope that you enjoyed the ride and that you will come along with us once again. But until then, speak life and let the story tell.
Speak Life, thank you. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade.